Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You're a great God. You're worthy of our praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Would you take about 30 seconds and just give him your best praise? Come on, clap your hands. Give the Lord a praise with your voice. That's it, that's it, that's it. Come on, he's worthy, he's worthy. And we love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Mighty God, mighty God. Thank the name of the Lord. Aren't you glad to be here today in the presence of the Lord? Amen. And if you have your Bibles and you would turn with me to the gospel, I'm sorry, to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. Through the years of preaching, the Lord has shown me a few things about the text I'm going to share with you this morning, and I am going to do my best to convey some things the Lord has taught me. Would that be all right? From Acts chapter 3. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. And seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. If you'll help me preach a little bit this morning, I want to preach to you in need of change. In need of change. We've got a change shortage, they tell us. But God's not short on change. Come on, let's give the Lord praise right now. Come on, reach up to heaven. Ask him if he would speak into your hearts, into your spirits today. Hallelujah, Lord, we need to hear from you in the name of Jesus today. We'll give you the glory and we'll give you the praise. And if somebody would mind to get me a bottle of water, I would give you, I'd probably give you $100. I'll give you that or whatever's in my pocket. You may be seated in the name of the Lord today. Thank you for standing and thank you for being here today. God is doing wonderful, wonderful things. Everybody say, born lame. Born lame. From his mother's womb, the Bible says he was born lame. He's never walked. He's never leaped. He's never skipped or ran. He was born lame. He's never played ball with the other kids. He's never played tag or Red Rover. He was born lame. And this is his reality. He is long resolved to the misery of being a cripple and the shame of being a beggar. And so the first thing the Lord showed me about this man is he showed me in this man. You and I were born lame. For David lamented, "I was born in sin." And then Paul directly affirms it in his epistle by declaring, we all come up short of the glory of God, for we are all sinners. We're all born spiritually crippled. We're all, we could say, relationally disabled. Righteously, if we wanted to use the PC term, we're righteously challenged. We're sinners. Unable to walk. Unable to tend to our own affairs. Born lame. We, every one of us, in need of change. That's the way we came in. His best hope, his highest aspiration in life was to be, think about it, a successful beggar. And the Lord showed me that so many have been convinced by the devil, by the enemy of their soul, that the best that we can ever be in this life is a successful beggar, just kind of spiritual paupers, relational vagabonds, just grinding from day to day. Think about it. This was our existence before the Lord. This is so many people's existence even today, just getting by from day to day. You know, we got some coins, but we're still begging. We've got a little bit of change here and there, but we're still begging, still lame, doing better than some other beggars perhaps, but worse than others, but we're still beggars. On our best day without the Lord, we are simply, all we can ever hope to be is successful beggars. I mean, spiritually depleted, devoid of any righteousness. We just try to get by in this life. You see them all around you. They are miserable. They are hurting. They are dying. They are empty. They are lost. They are reaching out for something. They are spiritual beggars. Could we take just a moment and give God some praise that those of you that have already experienced Jesus, you ought to go ahead and thank God that you have experienced the change that I'm preaching about this morning. God, we thank you for changing our lives. He didn't leave us the way he found us. He did not leave us where he found us. We have been changed. Somebody shout, changed! In the name of Jesus. Jockeying for the best spot to do our begging, hoping to get enough today to get us by, to bring us back to the same spot tomorrow. Just hoping to be a successful beggar. We need change. And daily, the Bible says, he was laid at the gate of the temple. The beautiful gate, the Bible describes, close to the church, but not in the church. Near the temple, but not in the temple. So close that he could hear the worshipers, yet never a worshiper himself. Everyone else was inside, hands raised. He's outside, palms extended. Everyone else is inside singing to God praises and giving God glory. He's outside begging the next person that walks by for just a little change, hearing the worship but never a worshiper himself, hearing the praises but never a praiser himself, hearing others sing but never being able to sing for himself. He would watch them go in and he would watch them come out, and perhaps some of them came out changed, maybe, but he never went home changed. Just laying at the gate of the temple, lame, begging, needing, desiring change. And the Bible says in verse 3, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. Asking for donations, asking for change. Just some alms. I can see him there with his beggar's garment, his lame legs sprawled out from his waist down, unable to move. I can see him there with his beggar's cup. Maybe he's got a dime or two, and he rattles it as people walk by, trying to go to church, trying to go to choir practice, trying to get in there to song service, trying to make it on time. They got their kids. They're trying to hurry up. Come on, Johnny. Come on, get your tie on. Come on, get your mask on, you know. We got to get into the temple. It's time. We're running late. Isn't it amazing everything you got to gather up nowadays? It takes me forever to get in my truck and out of my truck. I got to think about masks and hand sanitizers and my six-foot ruler that I carry around with me to make sure everybody stays away from me. And I'm not there yet. I'm just getting there. But they're all just trying to get to church, trying to do their thing. And they have to encounter this rattling of the cup and the crying out of the beggar on their way to church. Somebody's in the way. Here they are laying at the gate every single time they come. In fact, the Bible says he's there every single day. And the Bible says that he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked of them alms. He asked for alms. And the Lord, maybe you catch this, he asked for alms and the Lord gave him legs. Anybody? I know, lame joke. But yes. I'm here all day, folks. Come back later if you want. He saw Peter and John about to go into the temple. Actually, you can't. You only get to come this morning. Sorry about that. He'll be showing up. Brother Hawkins said to come back. And Gary will say sorry. And he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, and the Lord taught me this. The Lord taught me that the church must not be invisible. The church must not be hard to find. The world needs to know not only who we are, but where we are. They need to see us. Can I say it this way? More than ever before, I think the word unprecedented has been used in 2020 in unprecedented degrees. Everything's unprecedented. The way we go to shop is unprecedented. You got to walk along. You got to look at anybody going the wrong way down the aisle at Walmart. Be careful. You'll be in Walmart jail if you're not careful. You gotta go in a certain door and go out a certain door, and you gotta wear your mask, and you gotta watch this, and you gotta sanitize your hands, and so here we are in this world, just trying to get through this world of everybody's just it's unprecedented times. Never have we seen this before. Never has it been like this before. Never has it been that bad before. Never has it been that bad before. You know, I believe that there's a scripture that says something about where sin doth abound, grace doth much more abound. I believe this. I believe that the darker the world gets, the brighter the church can shine. I believe that the rougher it gets in the world, the better it gets in the church. I believe that in the last days, I know the Bible says evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. But I believe if that's true, then the church can wax better and better, stronger and stronger. While the world gets worse, the church gets better. While the world goes down, the church rises up. I'm not in trouble. You're not in trouble. I'm not discouraged. Don't be discouraged. God's still in control. And the church needs to shine in this dark hour like never before. Amen. We must not be invisible. Please don't sneak to church. And please don't ever think that just because we have to arrange our seating right now that we would ever turn a visitor away. Because the most important thing, I'm looking at probably about 60 or 70 or 80 people here, all of whom I believe would give up your seat or give up your row to somebody who came in here today begging for alms and needing change in their life. I believe you would say, you know what? You take my seat. I'll go down here to the overflow. You be in here with God's people. You come in here where you can get a little change in your life, where God can touch you and heal you. So please understand that even in these unprecedented times, I believe God is pouring out unprecedented revival. Change, change, change. Everybody needs it. Everybody's looking for it. So the Lord showed me, do not be invisible. Do not be invisible. Do not be hard to find. Broadcast where you are, who you are, where you are, who you are, how to get there, that you'll go there to them if they need you to, or you'll get them to the church. How many, even in these times of trouble and uncertainty, would bring somebody to church if you had the chance? Come on, somebody. We got to get them here to the gate so that they, see, this man was stuck at the gate, but this day Peter and John was going to bring him beyond the gate where he's been stuck for years. I don't know who I'm preaching to today, but you do. I'm preaching to somebody that's been stuck for years. Maybe your entire life you've been stuck in a certain place. You've tried to get up, but your lame legs would not support you. You tried to make things better for yourself, but only to find out not only was it not better, but every day it got a little bit worse. You've looked into the temple, but you can't quite see all the way in because you are stuck at the gate. But I'm preaching today that Jesus Christ could touch you in such a manner that your life would be changed forever, and you could leap to your feet, leaping and praising God into the temple. He saw Peter and John about to go into the temple. And so the world needs to be able to find us, not just going to church, but being the church. And the Bible says in verse 4, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. Peter said, look on us. And the next thing the Lord has showed me is that the church, not only must we not be invisible, we must not be silent. We must not lose our voice. We must not be intimidated to say, look on us. us. I know we live in a culture that more and more is calling good evil and evil good. I know that we live more than ever before. We live in a day where in our nation, Christians are being persecuted for the very fact of what we believe. But church, you better take an example from Peter and John and the rest of the apostles when they were threatened, don't preach in Jesus' name anymore. They just looked them right back in the eyes and said, well, you judge. Should we listen to you or should we listen to the Lord? And the Bible says they went on preaching in Jesus' name, praying in Jesus' name, having revival in Jesus' name, seeing people healed in Jesus' name. Do not be silent, church. This is our brightest hour right now. Come on, we are ready for mighty revival. So don't you be intimidated to stand up and talk about the name of Jesus. Come on and clap your hands to the Lord for a moment and somebody give him a shout in this place. Come on, don't be silent. Don't be silenced. Don't be intimidated. Raise your voice for Jesus Christ. Everybody shout yes. Come on, everybody say yes. We need revival in this last day, and the church cannot be silent in an hour when the world needs change. And everybody shouted amen. My, God help us not to lose our voice. They were not intimidated to say, look on us. Look on us. Look on us. We must not be intimidated to say, look on us. Check us out. Check this out. Here, I mean, we live in a day where they can check us out in so many different ways. Listen to this podcast of my pastor preaching. He was preaching about the very thing you're talking about. Here, listen to this. I think it'll help you. Hey, watch our live stream. You can't be there with me Sunday. Here, watch our live stream. 10 o'clock. Here, go here. Send them. You can text them the link. All they got to do is click on it, and it brings it up on their phone, and they can be blessed by the word, blessed by the singing. You can bring them to church, and they never even walk in the building yet. But you cannot be intimidated to speak out and say, hey, check us out. Hey, we've got something worth looking at. Hey, there's something better than what you have found. And look on us. Look on us. Would you watch this live stream? Would you come to church with me? Can I tell you a story about my life? The worst thing that could have ever happened to this lame man would be for Peter to be silent at this critical moment. He needs change. Look on us. Look on us. It wasn't really about him looking at Peter and John as much as it was about causing him to look up. This man was so used to being down, he no longer even looked up. His whole life, he has been grounded, and the ground was his world. And the Lord showed me, in order for them to experience change, they must see another world. They must see a better culture. Don't just gripe at people about their culture and never show them a better culture. Evangelism is not about nagging somebody to the point of causing them to come to church with you. Evangelism is about expressing and sharing your belief and your experience, because people don't much care about what you believe anymore, but they really do want to know, what have you experienced? And when you tell somebody not only that there's power in the name of Jesus, that's just words until you tell them, you know what, I was where you are. I used to be a drug addict too. I used to be on an alcoholic too. I used to have cancer too. I was sick too. I've been in the heart ward of the hospital too. I've been without a job one time before too. My family was falling apart at one time too. I've been through divorce too. My kids did that too. And when you begin to tell them and they say, well, what happened to you? And you get to that point in your story when you say, but somebody prayed for me in the name of Jesus. My marriage came back together. My mind cleared up. I did not lose my mind when I thought I was going to lose it. I didn't lose it. My job situation turned around. My home situation turned around. God gave me change. And when you tell people about the change that you have had, come on somebody and help me preach this today. When you tell somebody about your change, before long you'll give them their change. They'll experience the same change you have. That is evangelism. It's not about about looking at us. No, I'm not. When I say look at us, I don't mean look at our singing, look at our choir, look at our music team, look at our programs, look at our children's department, look at our youth group. I don't mean any of that. I don't mean look at our drums. I don't mean look at our live stream, how fancy it is. I don't mean any of that. When I say look at us, I am saying look at a better culture. I want you to look at a group of people whose lives were a mess and God has fixed them. I want you to see a group of people who were at the end of their rope and God came along and saved them and changed them. Look on us. We're no better than you are, except God has saved us. Look on us. They must see another world, a better culture. Look on us. Look up here. Look up here. Look up here. There's a better way. But it's not down there. Look up here. And I want you to notice the Lord showed me that Peter and John never got on the ground. They did not get on the ground. They told him who was stuck on the ground, who looked at nothing but dirt, who lived his whole world on the ground. They said to him, look on us. If I really wanted to go on a soapbox today, I would just take about 5 minutes and preach against the church trying to be like the world, look like the world, sing like the world, have music like the world, have the styles of the world, change our stage to look like the world. I don't have time to do that today because I got to move you on out. I've got another crew coming in behind you here. But I will tell you this. This is no time for the church to be letting down. This is time for the church to be rising up. It's no time to try to be like the world because the world is looking for something different than what they are in. We don't get down in the dirt with them. We say to them, look on us, not because we're proud of who we are, but we're proud of what Jesus can do in your life. We doing okay? They never got on the ground. This meeting was about this man getting his change. Preaching is really about redirecting focus. That's really what preaching is. Preaching is about redirecting your focus from down to up. That's what Jesus was doing when he said to his disciples, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's, watch this, in my Father's house. You'll get discouraged if all you do is look at the ground, if all you live in is the dirt, if your whole world is full of discouragement and distraught things and depressing things, and that's all you ever think about, all you ever see, all you ever talk about, all you ever watch, all you ever read. Come on, somebody. Jesus said, no, don't you get wrapped up in this world. I want you to think about in my Father's house. That is what preaching does. Good preaching will change your direction. It will change your focus from all the mess to somebody who can fix your mess. It will change your focus from all the dirt to somebody who can rise you up out of the dirt. Look on us. Come on, look up here. Don't be looking down there anymore. Look up here, because if you'll look at us, we're pretty soon we're going to point you to somebody who will change your life forever. Look on us. And before you discredit yourself from being worthy of being used by the Lord in this way, church, please remember that these are not perfect men that we are reading about today. Just weeks before this, Peter was cussing. Now, I'm not telling you should go around cussing and come to church and act like you're okay. But I am telling you that we discredit ourselves sometimes. We discount and we disqualify ourselves because we've made blunders. Surely God couldn't use us. And I will be honest with you, the fact of the matter is, some of the people that God has used in your life to help you, bless you, encourage you, teach you, bring you along, pray for you, and you would point to them and say, that man, that woman was used of God. If it hadn't been for them, if the covers were pulled back from their life and you knew all the things that God had brought them out of, it would blow your mind. That's why we've got to remember that everybody that God uses is human. We are all flesh. Peter was cussing a few weeks ago, and John, his own mama, was up before Jesus saying, by the way, Jesus, I want my boys to have a great position. I don't know why I'm doing my hips like that, but that's the way she probably said it. I want my boys to have a great position in your kingdom. I just see her doing that, I guess. I don't know. That's why I'm not in the drama team, you understand. I want my boys, Jesus, to have a position. John's mama was jockeying for position for her boys. They wanted to sit at his right hand and his left hand. So it could be said that these men had a wrong agenda. John, that was him just a few weeks ago. And here they are now standing before this man and being used by God. I'm just pausing long enough to tell you that God can use anybody who will allow themselves to be used. You can use your voice. He can use your hands. He can use your prayer. He can use you. If you've got the Holy Ghost, then you've been qualified to be used by God to bring change into people's lives. I wish you'd take a moment and give God some praise right now. Come on, hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And let me say to those who use the excuse, because I don't want to just preach to the church. Let me talk to some of you who aren't in the church, and you use the excuse of hypocrisy in the church for not coming to church. I just want to tell you, first of all, you probably have the wrong definition of hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is when we say something that we really don't believe. And we are not a group of people claiming to be perfect. We are flawed. We are flawed people. But we are flawed people who God has showed mercy upon and has healed our lame legs. We don't pretend to be perfect. We are not. We do not pretend to be flawless because we are not. But we do proclaim to have the mercy of God in our lives and that we used to be lame and we're not lame anymore. We might fall down, but we are not lame. We will get back up. And it's all from the mercy and the grace of the Lord. We're flawed people who God has showed mercy upon. He's healed our lame legs and now he's working on us. And we're working out our salvation. We're leaping into the kingdom. And we're simply saying to you, there is a better way. And you can experience this change too. Music's going to begin to make their way back. So look on us. That's what we're saying. Look on us. Check this out. See what the Lord can do for you. Verse 6, Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk." So church, hear me. Do not be stopped or hindered by what you do not have. It would be a shame if Peter and John had stopped there. "We don't have any money. Sorry for your luck. We've got to move on." Wouldn't it be a shame? So don't be stopped by what you do not have. Hear me when I say do not be stopped by that. Stop fixating on what you lack and rather extend what you have. I want to say that one more time. Stop fixating on what you do not have and extend to those in need what you do have. Extend to them the Lord. Extend to them Jesus Christ. "I don't have any money." Well, they don't need your money. They think they need your money, but they don't need your money. "Such as I have give I thee." Just like Elisha with his brand new mantle, remember? It was Elijah's old mantle, but when Elijah was caught up, he dropped his old mantle and it fell to the ground, and now it's Elisha's new mantle. And Elisha took it up and walked right up to the same Jordan River that he had witnessed his predecessor part with the mantle, and he smite the waters and called upon the God of Elijah. And what did Elisha do? He parted the waters too. Peter said, "I don't have the kind of change you're asking for, but I've got the change you're looking for. Such as I have." Where did he get it? He's watched Jesus for all these years now, walking around healing, touching, praying, lame legs healed, dead raising from the dead, miracle after miracle. And then Jesus ascends up into heaven, and they go into that upper room on the day of Pentecost. And just like that mantle fell from Elijah to Elisha, the Holy Ghost falls now down into that upper room, fills it all. They're all filled with the Holy Ghost. And Peter and John, can you see them taking up the mantle? And they go up, and this is the first time they're going to check this thing out. Just like Elisha said, where is the God of Elijah? Peter walks up and says, I don't have any change. My pockets are empty. But such as I have received, I will give that to you, and it'll be the best change you've ever gotten. It's better than a penny. It's better than a nickel. It's better than a quarter. It's better than a dollar. It's better than $1,000. I give to you Jesus. And he said to him, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up. Rise up and walk. Wow. Stop trying to give what you do not have and give them what you do have. You have Jesus. I wish I could sing better. Stop it. If God wanted you to sing better, he'd give you a better voice. But you've got Jesus. Some of y'all wish you could sing better, and you've got stuff singers wish they had. I wish I could preach like that. Stop it. God gave you something a lot of preachers wish they had. We want this and we want that. Well, I don't have it. I don't have it to give. I wish I could do that. Jesus gave you something, so stop reaching in that pocket and reach over into the other pocket and understand you may not have all that, but you do have something that you can give to the world. And such as I have, give I thee. I've been with Jesus. I've got the Holy Ghost. I've got the power of the name of Jesus in me. And when I reach out, your life is going to be changed and you'll never be the same again. Such as I have, give I thee. Come on and give the Lord a shout of praise in this place today. Such as I have. Such as I have. Such as I have. Have you got the Holy Ghost? Then you've got something to give. Have you got Jesus? Then you've got something to give. The best thing for this man was that Peter, a couple of broke preachers happened to come their way that day. If they had been rich, he would have lost the best blessing of his life. But because they didn't have what he thought he needed, he got what he really needed. So, hey, I'm preaching to you, church. You've got something. You have something that will raise the lame, heal the sick, raise the dead, save the lost. Will you give what you have? In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. In the name of Jesus. There's power. Am I preaching to anybody that knows there's power in the name of Jesus? Come on, whose name?
Jesus.
Oh, come on, whose name?
Jesus.
There's healing in what name?
Jesus.
Come on, there's salvation in what name?
Jesus.
There's deliverance in what name?
Jesus.
Your miracle is in what name?
Jesus.
Salvation is preached in what name? Come on, it's all in the name of Jesus. And when you say Jesus, things begin to happen. And when you pray in the name of Jesus, things begin to happen. And when you speak the name of Jesus, all hell is shaken and heaven is moved by the power of the name of Jesus. And he said to the man, rise up and walk. Four powerful words. Oh, you ought to watch this afternoon, because I'm going to preach a little bit more about conversations we have with problems. Rise up, he said, and walk. Four simple words, but powerful words. It wasn't a little request. It was four bold, faith-filled words. Rise up and walk. Say that with me. Rise up and walk. Some of us need to grab this and start commanding some things in our lives to rise up and walk. They've been dead for too long. They've been lame for too long. Your faith is set on the sidelines for too long, and you need to rise up today and begin to speak some faith into your situation. Your faith has been lame long enough. Your fear has ruled the day long enough. Faith, rise up and walk. Come on, marriage, rise up and walk. Come on, my family. family situation, rise up and walk. Say it to your finances. Rise up and walk. In fact, I challenge you to stand up right now and speak to whatever has been holding you back, keeping you out, dragging you down, and command it in your life to rise up and walk. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately, somebody say immediately, do you still believe in a God that can do it right now? Do you still believe in a God that when you call on his name, he's able to do and immediately work? Come on, somebody say immediately. Come on, say in Jesus' name. Somebody say rise up and walk. Somebody say immediately. Come on, in Jesus' name. Rise up and walk. Come on, I want you to take 2 minutes right now and begin to speak to some things in your life. What do you need to rise up and walk? Some of you haven't called on the name of Jesus over that situation for a long time. And I feel the Holy Ghost saying, if you begin to speak to it in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Go ahead, do that right now. Go ahead, I want you to pray right now. I want you to make some commands right now. In the name of Jesus, marriage, rise up and walk. My finances, you're going to rise up and walk. My family situation, you're going to rise up and walk. Come on, my relationship with God, it's been stagnant for too long, and you need to rise up and walk. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, come on, make that bold command right now to rise up and walk. Come on, I need it to rise up. I'm tired of it laying on the sidelines. I'm tired of this lame situation. I'm tired of lame legs. Rise up. Rise up and walk. Come on, go ahead and rejoice just a moment. Give God some praise for change that's taking place right now. Can you praise him like you've already got it? Can you praise him like it's already here? Come on, can you give the Lord a dance? Can you give the Lord a shout? Can you give the Lord a little bit of a leap? Come on, somebody, you need to begin to pull. You need to plan it. You need to claim it. You need to believe it as though it's already happened. Yes! Yes! Come on, rise up! Rise up! Oh, in the name of Jesus! Give the Lord a hand clap of praise right now. Come on, all over this sanctuary, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Woo! Yes! Now listen to me. He took him by the right hand and he lifted him up. Listen, any preacher can get up here and get you excited about what I've already preached to you. And you can go home and say, yeah, God is able. But a real good preacher will get you by the hand and say, I'm not letting you go the same way you came. I didn't pray over you just so you can go home the same way you came. So I'm going to reach out to you one more time. I'm going to take you by the hand and tell you to rise up and walk. Come on, I need you to get this. I need you to believe this. Come on, rise up and walk. Get up and give God praise. Go ahead and break through your flesh. Get up out of that lame condition. Drop your beggar's garment. Drop that beggar's cup. I'm never going to be this way again. I'm not going back to that ever again. I thank you, Jesus, for bringing me out. I am not lame anymore. Yes! Woo! Hila bobodo to shayala. Glory to God. Now I'm about to turn you loose. Listen to me. I want to say one more thing to you. I want to give you a revelation here if you haven't already got this. The Bible says he reached out and he took him by the hand, the right hand, and he lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he let me tell you what's can you bring that scripture up? I want them to see it. I want them to read it. I'm in Acts chapter 3, and I'm on verse number 8. Some of them do not believe what I'm getting ready to tell them. I need them to see it. Acts 3, 8. Look, and he, I'm going to say, yes, it's one of those days I'm going to get on your nerves. Yes, it is. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I see you back there, Sister Henderson. She's already ready. Turn me loose. Turn me loose. Some of you are like, turn me loose. Turn me loose. I'm going to turn you loose that way. Now listen to me. When you believe, you will not sit like a lame beggar anymore. You will leap up. And let me tell you what the devil has tried to do through all this pandemic mess and all this quarantine mess, keeping us home, keeping us quiet, and keeping us away from the church. And we've made our way back into the church, but too many of us have not made our way back into our praise. Somebody here today, you need to break through your flesh and go ahead and act like you used to act. Go ahead and give God a shout. Go ahead and leap for joy. Come on, I'm telling you that he leaped and he walked and he entered into the temple. Go ahead and take a moment now. Come on, rise up and walk. Rise up and shout. Rise up and give God praise. Yeah, come on. Yeah, I believe in Jesus. Woo! Come on, get your praise on for a moment. Rise up and walk. Rise up and believe it. Rise up and shout it. Rise up and give God praise. Come on, he's worthy, he's worthy, he's worthy.
I gotta praise and I gotta get it.